If you spend like any amount of time reading about artificial intelligence, you start to hear the same drumbeat over and over. You know the one.
Oh, absolutely. The whole move fast and break things mantra.
Right. It is the classic Silicon Valley playbook. You launch the beta, you push the update, you just sort of let the algorithm figure it out in the wild.
Yeah, and if it hallucinates a few weird answers, well, I mean, that is just the cost of innovation, right?
Exactly. It's the ultimate beta tester business model. The product ships before the paint is even dry, and you, the user, are essentially doing free quality assurance for a multi-billion dollar tech company.
Which, you know, is fine if we are talking about a chatbot writing marketing copy or like suggesting a recipe for dinner.
Yeah, but step into the world of healthcare, of severe addiction or cancer treatment. Suddenly, moving fast and breaking things isn't just a bad business strategy. It is genuinely terrifying.
It's a matter of life and death.
It really is. And that is exactly what we are digging into today. It is Sunday, August 9, 2026. Welcome to today's deep dive into our source material from Conversational AI Watch.
Specifically, we're looking at their Sunday Three Champions edition.
Yes, and honestly, I have to mention our sponsor for today, Clinician Assist, the sponsor we love, because their entire thesis, which is keeping licensed clinicians firmly in charge of AI, it perfectly mirrors the exact battleground we are looking at today.
It really does. It sets the table perfectly for this conversation.
So, here is our mission for this deep dive. Throughout the rest of the week, the tech world is all about headlines, stock prices, and machines running wild. But Sundays are for the trenches.
Right, the slow road.
Exactly. Today, we are exploring three champions who are building revolutionary, life-changing AI applications the slow, rigorous, excruciatingly careful way.
And to give you a big picture overview before we really get into the weeds, it is crucial to understand what these three champions are actually advocating for. Because they aren't Luddites, you know?
Right, they aren't saying smash the computers.
Exactly. They aren't asking for bans, and they certainly aren't trying to put the technological genie back in the bottle, but they also refuse to just let the machine run loose.
So what are they asking for then?
They are asking for protocols. They want human supervisors. And above all, they are building scorecards, like empirical, testable scorecards that someone else can check before the AI ever speaks a single word to a human.
Okay, let's start with the most intimate human connection imaginable, because I think it perfectly illustrates why those scorecards matter. I want you to picture this scenario. It's 2 a.m.
Oh, the 2 a.m. scenario.
Right. A mother is awake, sitting in the dark, clutching her phone. She is listening for a car in the driveway, worried sick because her child is battling a severe addiction.
It's just a moment of total, complete vulnerability.
It is. And she doesn't have a therapist on speed dial. She has exactly one number she can call. It's 855-D-DRUG-FREE, which is the national helpline run by the Partnership to End Addiction.
And that is not an isolated scenario at all. That specific helpline reaches tens of thousands of families every single year.
Which brings us to our first champion, Dr. Sarah Dauber. She's the Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Partnership. And she knows exactly who is calling in the middle of the night.
Because her team actually tracked it.
Oh, meticulously.
Yeah.
They analyzed 24,096 helpline records spanning an entire decade. And the demographics here are just incredibly telling.
I mean, the numbers really paint a picture of who is bearing the brunt of this crisis.
They really do. Of those 24,000 calls, 76.1% were women.
Wow.
Yeah. And 68.9% were parents calling desperately about their own children. Plus, 17.8% were asking for support in Spanish.
When you look at those numbers, a very specific reality emerges. These are the people holding the entire household together.
The unseen caregivers.
Exactly. They are carrying this immense psychological burden, and historically, they receive almost no evidence-based support. The whole American addiction treatment infrastructure is built around the person actively using substances.
Right, the person with the addiction gets the rehab bed, the counselor, everything.
But the family members, the ones staying up at 2 a.m., they are largely left to fend for themselves.
So Dr. Dauber and her co-principal investigator, Frederick Manch, they decide to fix this using AI. They secured a massive federal grant from the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
First-year funding of, what was it, roughly $454,000.
Yep, $453,750 to be exact. And it's to build a chatbot called ALO, which stands for Helping Affected Loved Ones. But okay, let's unpack this for a second.
Sure.
Because usually when we hear about training a massive AI language model, it's all about data vacuuming. You know, scraping all of Reddit, every Wikipedia page, just letting the AI read the whole internet to learn how to sound human.
Right, the vacuum approach, which they are completely rejecting here.
Yes, because if you let an AI roam the open internet to learn about addiction, it's going to find some terrible, unscientific, highly judgmental advice.
Oh, the internet is full of the worst possible advice for addiction. So instead, they're doing this fine-tuning within a walled garden.
I love that phrase. It's a walled garden of empathy.
That's exactly what it is. They took 40,000 highly specific, evidence-based conversations from their own real human counselors and fed those into the machine.
So they aren't letting it read the web. They are literally giving it a strict curriculum.
Yes, 40,000 transcripts. And these aren't just random chats. They use motivational interviewing and a very specific framework called community reinforcement and family training.
So it's like an old world apprenticeship. They lock the AI in a room with their best counselors and say, you can only learn to speak using these examples.
What's fascinating here is the rigorous wall built into that grant because they don't just train it and launch it.
Right. And I actually have to play devil's advocate here for a second because Silicon Valley will launch a mental health bot to 100,000 users over a weekend just to see if it
Oh,
works.
they do it all the time.
But I'm looking at the timeline for Halo, and it mandates a pilot with just 60 families, 6-0. If we have a national addiction crisis, isn't holding back a potential lifeline to just 60 people like incredibly restrictive?
It feels restrictive, yeah. But that is the exact tension at the heart of medical AI. Yes, it feels slow. But you have to remember, an AI trained on human empathy is still just a machine.
It doesn't actually feel anything.
Right. If a chatbot gives a vulnerable parent the wrong advice if it sounds frustrated, or suggests some tough love approach that triggers a family crisis, the damage is immediate and it is severe.
Because the machine doesn't understand the emotional weight of its words at 2 a.m.
Exactly. It just predicts the next logical token in a sentence, which is why that 60-family pilot is the ultimate scorecard.
How so?
Well, it has three arms: the helpline alone, the helpline plus the Halo chatbot, and the helpline plus Halo plus human peer support.
Oh, so they are actually measuring if the AI adds value or causes harm compared to the baseline.
Yes. And here is the critical mechanism. Only if that tiny pilot clears predefined benchmarks does it proceed. If it fails, the project stops.
Wait, really? It just stops. They don't just like tweak the algorithm and keep going?
Nope. It halts. Only if it proves safety and efficacy does it unlock the next phase, which is a trial with 800 family members.
That is just incredible. If you are listening to this and you work in healthcare administration, this is how you build a hybrid model. If a vendor ever pitches your clinic a family support bot, ask them about this.
You have to ask the hard questions. Was your model trained exclusively on your own verified clinical counselors?
Right. And was it benchmarked against a control group before it scales? Because if they say no, it is not a rigorously tested medical tool. You're just buying an experiment.
Exactly.
Okay, so Halo shows us how to train a machine safely behind closed doors, right? But our next champion shows us what happens when you take your AI out into the light and pit it head to head against the government.
This is such a fascinating case study.
It really is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dr. Jonathan Bricker at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. He built a tool called QuitBot.
Right, which is a 42-day smoking cessation app entirely supported by a large language model.
And we should note, nicotine addiction is just notoriously brutal to break.
Oh, the relapse rates are incredibly high. It is one of the hardest addictions to overcome.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Dr. Bricker didn't just launch this app to see if people clicked on it. He didn't just test it against a wait list.
He raced it against the gold standard.
Yes. He challenged the National Cancer Institute's own program, Smoke-Free TXT. The pilot results were published in 2024, and the numbers are just wild.
They really are. For the people who actually finished the program, the completers, the 30-day abstinence rate was 63% for QuitBot.
63%, compared to just 38.5% for Smoke-Free TXT among those same completers.
Which is a massive signal. It proves that a conversational LLM-supported approach isn't just a gimmick, it actually keeps people engaged.
But that pilot was just the warm-up. Because the full trial, which enrolled 1,647 adults, literally just ended on April 8, 2026.
Right, we're all eagerly waiting on those results.
But instead of just cashing out on that massive trial, Dr. Bricker is leaning into the hardest-hit demographic in the country.
The native communities.
Yes. Because in these specific communities, commercial cigarette smoking accounts for a staggering half of all deaths. Half.
It is a profound public health crisis that often gets overlooked.
So to address it, he and his team secured a $591,836 fiscal 2026 grant for an upcoming September 30 trial called NAITIVE.
That's NAITIVE, standing for Navigation and Artificial Intelligence Technology for Indigenous Virtual Education.
But here's the thing that stood out to me in the grant. They make this really aggressive point to draw a hard line between commercial tobacco and traditional or ceremonial tobacco. Why is an AI developer focused on that?
Because without that vital distinction, the AI is not just useless, it is actively offensive.
How so?
Well, traditional tobacco has deep spiritual and cultural significance in Native communities. It's used for prayer, for healing. Commercial tobacco, the mass-produced stuff pushed by big corporations, that is the poison causing the cancer.
Ah, I see.
So if you hand a generic AI chatbot to a Native user and the AI just starts lecturing them on the evils of all tobacco,
it demonstrates a complete lack of cultural competence.
Exactly. The user will immediately disengage. The AI doesn't inherently know the difference between a sacred tradition and a commercial cigarette.
So they are building the entire adaptation alongside the communities themselves.
Yes. They established a community partnership infrastructure before a single participant ever enrolled.
Which proves that defensibility in underserved markets isn't about having a better AI model. You can't just clone a community partnership from an API.
No, you can't. It is the exact opposite of moving fast and breaking things.
Okay, so Dr. Bricker proved his AI works before scaling it. But we have to look at the dark side here. What happens when an AI isn't checked?
It gets scary very quickly.
Yeah, what happens when you just let a generic language model dispense medical advice straight from its own memory?
You get a machine that is incredibly fast, incredibly confident, and quite often dangerously wrong.
Which brings us to our third champion, Dr. Danielle Bitterman at Brigham and Women's Hospital. In 2023, she ran ChatGPT against the actual clinical cancer guidelines for breast, prostate, and lung cancers.
She used 104 different prompts, right?
Exactly. 104 prompts. And the stats from this are terrifying. 34% of the responses had non-concordant treatment advice, meaning they directly violated the clinical guidelines.
But 34% isn't even the dangerous number.
No, it's not. The truly dangerous number is 98%.
Because 98% of the time, the wrong advice was perfectly mixed in with correct advice.
Right. It's like being handed this beautifully baked cherry pie, but one of the ingredients is crushed glass.
That is such a vivid analogy.
Because the crust looks perfect.
Right.
And the first bite tastes like cherry, so you just keep eating. It literally takes a board-certified oncologist to spot the glass in the AI's response.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it all comes down to how these LLMs work. They don't actually know medical science. They just predict the next plausible sounding word.
Autocomplete on steroids.
Exactly. So they braid the truth and the hallucination together seamlessly. And Dr. Bitterman proved this again in her 2024 study on AI drafting patient messages.
Right, because hospitals are overwhelmed with messages, so having AI draft the first response sounds great.
And 58.3% of the time, those drafts were perfectly acceptable.
But here is the kicker. 0.6% of those drafts posed a direct risk of death.
0.6%.
Now, I know someone listening is thinking, okay, 0.6% is tiny. But if a major hospital sends 50,000 automated messages a week, 0.6% means you are consistently sending out advice that could kill someone.
Which is why Bitterman said, and I quote, "Keeping a human in the loop is an essential safety step, but it isn't a single solution."
Because humans get complacent. If the first 49 messages are fine, the doctor stops reading carefully and misses the one with a fatal error.
Precisely. The machine is just competent enough to lower your guard.
So Dr. Bitterman secures an $819,628 grant from the NCI to build AIC Chase.
Right, to fix this exact problem.
And her goal isn't just to use an LLM. It is to forcibly tie the language model to the actual clinical guidelines so it literally cannot speak from memory.
They are putting the clinical rulebook inside a digital box. If the answer isn't in the box, the chatbot is physically incapable of answering.
It grounds the machine.
Yes. Yep. It relies on clinical truth, not statistical probability.
So what does this all mean for us? We have these three champions, a helpline scientist, a quit coach, and a cancer doctor.
And they all refused to ship first.
They built boundaries, they partnered with communities, and they demanded tests. Which, again, perfectly aligns with our sponsor today, Clinician Assist.
It really proves that the future of medical AI requires humans close by and machines that know their limits.
So I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder. Next time you use an AI tool for a health or personal crisis, ask yourself, what is this machine's memory grounded in?
Did its creators build a scorecard and test it?
Or are you the test subject? Because it takes an expert to spot the glass. That is all for today's deep dive. Tomorrow, we look at the fast road of AI, But until then, carry the spirit of these three champions into your week. Thanks for listening.